Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4. We'll read Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 7 through verse 16. Our focus verses for the sermon are going to be verses 13 to 16. Please pay careful attention to God's holy and inspired word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we come to your word now, Lord, once again, we come depending upon you, Lord, to teach us, to show us, and help us to understand what we are to know about you and what you require of us. Lord, this is a work that only you can do. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen, to be ready in our minds to hear your word, and to be ready to put it into practice. Father, we ask that you would do this for us. Shepherd us in this way, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is growing his church. What do you want to be when you grow up? That's a question that we often ask little kids, and we see them playing with toys or something. It might be a police car or a fire truck, and we ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oftentimes, they don't know, obviously. A lot of times, it's the thing that fuels that thought for them is maybe what their parents are or what they've seen other people do in their occupations. One thing we know for sure is that whatever it is they say, it's likely not going to turn out that way. Even when we get into adulthood or even in college, we study for things that we don't end up doing sometimes for the rest of our life, which is fine. But let us ask ourselves as a church, what do we want to be when we grow up? What do we want to be when we grow up? Do we want to be bigger? Do we want to be more important? Even in our own presbytery, maybe. Do we want to be known for something? Do we want to be strong? The Scripture has not left us without an answer as to what the church should be when it grows up. Ephesians 4:13 to 16 is all about what Christ wants the church to be when it grows up. And that's the question. The real question we need to ask and answer is this. What does Christ want the church to be when it grows up? Or even as it is growing up? We've already addressed some of these things, but Christ has given each of you gifts. He has given you gifts as members of the body. He has given to you the gift of shepherds and teachers. He has given to the church throughout the ages, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, all to exercise the ministry of the word and to edify the body. So using the shepherds, the gifts that Christ has given to the church, to minister the word, he grows up the church. But what is Christ's goal for the growth of the church? Just like the human body, almost all human bodies grow up in their natural state. They grow up, they become bigger, they become stronger. But what is the goal? In verses 13 to 16, Christ will show us that He has specific goals for His church to grow up into. And first, we will see in verses 13 to 14 that Christ's goal for the church is that it will grow up to be adults. That it will grow up to be adults. And then in verse 15, we're going to see Christ's goal for the church is that it will grow up into Him. And lastly, in verse 16, we'll see Christ's goal for the church is that it will grow up in service to the body. So let's look first then at verses 13 to 14. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Christ's goal for you is that you would grow up to adulthood. It's important to remember as we look at these few verses that this whole passage is talking about the church as a whole. It's not just talking about you individually, that you need to grow. And we see this in words like in verse 12, the last part of it is that the ministers are given to the church for the edifying of what? The body of Christ, right? And so Paul goes from there into verse 13, and he says, until we all, so who's he talking about? We all collectively and corporately as the body of Christ. And in verse 15, he says, we are to grow up into Him who is the head. The head is nothing without the body. And the body is nothing without the head. So Paul is talking about that how we as a church grow. And yes, it includes how you as individual members grow. But this passage is talking about how we as the corporate body of Christ grow. And in verse 16, he talks about all the things that he is doing to cause the growth of the body. And so that's where I want your focus and your heart and minds to be paying attention to this morning. And looking at verse 13, then he tells us until we all come. The word until tells us that this is a process of growth, and it is a perpetual process for the whole church. As long as we live on this earth, Christ wants us to be growing as a body. That includes the whole church, and it also includes the local branches of each church of Jesus Christ. That He wants them to be growing as a body. And so we should be able to look at our little branch of the church here in this congregation and say, and evaluate and say, are we growing? Are we growing in the ways that Christ wants us to grow? Those are the kind of questions that we should be asking. And the goal of Christ is that we would grow into adulthood. That we would grow into adulthood. You see this here in verse 13, where he talks about to a perfect man, to a complete man. Speaking of growing up to that what you should be. As individual members, we make up the body. And so your growth as an individual is vital to the body growing. But your growth as an individual is not for you to realize your self-potential. It is for you to help the body grow. Just like the hand is not to grow in disproportionate size or strength to the rest of the body, but the hand is there to help the rest of the body. And yet it does need to grow and it does need to be strengthened. But it is so that you can contribute to the growing up of the body, which we're going to see in verse 16. As we look at the body illustration, would you not think it weird that a person who is really into working out and exercising, maybe lifting weights, and you see this person, he comes out of the gym and his arms are huge. Can't even put his arms beside him. But then he's got little toothpick legs. And you see people like that because they're looking for a particular thing in their bodybuilding. But Christ doesn't want that for His body. He wants His body to be strengthened in all parts. Not just individual parts, but in all parts. When the Scripture says, until we all come, it tells us that this process of growth is for the whole body, until we all come to the unity of the faith. The church is never to say, well, we've arrived. We're finally there. Just like the individual is never to say, I finally arrived. I finally accomplished all the things Christ wants me to do in my growth. And the same it is for the church. The church is to be doing those things that promote its growth. Always doing those things. Perpetually doing those things. Never losing sight of those things. And those things have to do with how the Lord has gifted the church. This takes us back to the ministry of the Word. To the shepherd's role in being used by Christ to the perfecting of the saints and edifying the body. The goal of the Word ministry is that we grow up to be unified in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You see that in verse 13. You see that how Christ is prioritizing how you are to grow, and it is based on the unity of the faith. And what is the unity of the faith? The unity of the faith is the faith that was once delivered. The faith that comes from the Scriptures. The faith is not talking about what you believe, but what the Scripture teaches. This is the faith. This is the faith he is referring to. The doctrine of Christ, the Spirit, the doctrine of the Spirit, of man, of sin, and of God the Father. These things are what Christ is putting a priority on in the ministry of the Word. And we are to keep coming back and back and back again to hear God's Word preached and taught, that we may grow up into this unity. And where there is not unity, that's why we have to keep coming back. Where? To the Word. To this unity and knowledge of the Son of God. Just as the human body needs food daily, so does the body of Christ. We keep coming back for more because we will starve if we don't. We will starve. These are the means that God has provided for us to grow. We need the gift of the ministry of the Word from Christ to grow up as a church. And each one of us needs this feeding. There is a thinking among some Christians that they know the Bible so well that there's nothing else that can be added to their knowledge or added to their understanding, that they no longer need the ministry of the Word. They no longer need that. There are many Christians who stay home. There are many Christians who stay home from the worship of God because they believe that they have become that perfect man in their knowledge and in their faith. But none of us has all understanding yet. And so none of us knows it all yet. And that's why it's a perpetual ministry of the Word, that we keep coming back to hear the Word taught. But is there a time when we finally do stop coming to the Word? When would that time be? When do we, in a sense, reach adulthood as a church? I remember watching an interview of a guy, and they were talking about manhood. And the interviewer said, well, who determines when a young boy or a young adult becomes a man? And he said, well, who determined when you became a man? And the man being interviewed said, my dad told me that he would let me know when I became a man. It was an interesting answer, because it was coming from a person who was already a man, who was already in adulthood. So it is with the body of Christ. We don't determine when we've reached adulthood. We don't determine when we've become that perfect and complete man. It is Christ who tells us when we become a man. We see in verse 13 that the goal of this unity and knowledge of the Son of God is to be a perfect man, to be a grown man, to be a completed man. We as the body of Christ become that perfect man, that child that has moved into adulthood, when we have met the standard of adulthood. And what is that standard? Verse 13. The last phrase. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the standard. Are you there yet? We're not there yet. And so we keep coming back to be fed. We keep coming back to the Word. We keep coming back until our understanding and our faith and everything else is completed. And when will that be? When will that be? Not in this life. And so you keep coming. But But there is a time we have to look forward to. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." In that day when the Lord takes us and takes His church to be with Him forever, we will be that completed, perfect man. And we will have reached that fullness of Christ, because we will be fooled up in Christ. And our salvation is fully completed. We shall, as the body of Christ, be that perfect man, lacking nothing, and being made full in the image of Christ. But between now and then, we are to be growing in the unity of the faith in Christ, growing in our knowledge of the Son of God. And this is not just knowing facts about God. This is not just knowing facts about the Son of God. This knowing is the knowing that comes through intimacy. It is the knowing that says, "I know you. I know who you are," from a personal experience that has been grown up and fed on the Word of God. This growing in our relationship with Him is depending more and more on Him, trusting more and more in Him, and finding in Him more and more assurance that He is our God, He is our Savior, and that we can rest and trust in Him. It is in Christ alone that our full manhood, the adulthood of the body of Christ, will be realized. It is the duty and obligation of the shepherd to preach Christ alone to the body, that they may be founded in the unity of the faith in Christ and knowledge and knowing Christ and Him crucified and risen again. I know I've heard some Christians say that preachers preach too much on just Jesus. But if you look at the Bible, that's what the Bible teaches us about. Jesus. Why? Why over and over and over again do we hear about Jesus? Does God think we cannot remember? It is not that we do not remember. It is that we are so prone to wander from Jesus, that we need to hear about Him day in and day out and be brought back to Him and brought back to the cross and brought back to what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of our sin, we do not see the perfection in us now, but we're going to see it. Those of us who have Christ, we are completed. We do have Christ. But there is more. There is more to our growth and more to maturing in Christ. And there will come a day that we see that completion in its fullness, for we shall be like Him. The whole body will be filled up with Christ. So Christ wants us to grow up into adulthood. And just because we know that there coming a day when we will be perfect, we will be complete, fully in Christ, and we will be like Him, just because we know that day is coming doesn't mean that in between now and then we just sit back and don't do what we are called to do, to grow up into Christ. In verse 14, we see again the priority that Christ is putting on the ministry of the Word pertaining to our growing up to adulthood. Verse 14 is a contrast to verse 13 in that now He is telling them what it is like to be a child. Look at verse 14. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." He's comparing adulthood in verse 13, which is growing up into manhood in Christ, which is founded upon scriptural truth. And he's comparing that to being an infant who is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When you see the word child here, it is also the word for infant. And what is an infant but vulnerable? An infant is not able to protect itself, is not able to know what to think or what to do. And so Paul is saying it's to not be focused, to not be centered on God's Word and growing up in Christ, is to be like an infant who is tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're not to be that way. As the growing body of Christ, we are founded upon Christ. He is our rock, and He is the one we are united to. So we are not to be like infants, being persuaded by every wind of doctrine. to take our eyes off of Christ and Scripture teachings concerning Him opens us up to be tossed back and forth, like a ship subject to the wind of the sea. This word, every wind of doctrine, refers to things coming at us from every corner, from every direction. And I think we are in that case today. The church has always been in that way. But are we not in that way today? Aren't there doctrines coming at us from every corner? From the world, from false religions, and from the church as well, new doctrines. Paul says, don't be tossed to and fro. This is Paul and Christ and the Holy Spirit putting a priority on doctrine in growth and stability of the body of Christ. And doctrine is simply the teachings of Scripture. Some people would, when their conversations would classify doctrine as something that men have been writing or that men have been making up. But doctrine in the Word simply means teaching of Scripture. And so when people say, well, I'm not up for doctrine, we need to correct them gently and say, doctrine is what the Bible teaches. It is the teaching of the Bible. Because false doctrines come to us from every direction, we need to be well grounded. If we're not securely anchored in Christ and His doctrine, we will be carried away by false doctrine. To be carried away simply means to be shifted from one point to another. And the only way that we can remain secured and anchored is to be in God's Word and to be believing God's Word and coming to that unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. And do not think that it cannot happen to you. And do not think that it cannot happen to parts of the body of Christ, because it has and it does. Whole denominations, because they have taken their eyes and their focus off of Jesus Christ. Whole branches of the church of Jesus Christ have moved away and left the Word and left Christ and are not growing in Christ but dying. They have been carried away because they did not preach and teach the true doctrine of Christ, and the people did not want to hear it. That's why they were carried away. And it's not people outside the Presbyterian Church. It is denominations within the Presbyterian Church, historically speaking. Whole denominations carried away because they were not anchored in the truth. This was a warning that Paul had given to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, saying, "For I know this," when he was about to leave them, "that savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Paul saw it happening then. He knew it was going to happen when he left. And it is happening today, and it has always happened throughout the age of the church. And that is why we must be anchored in the unity of the faith. The teaching of Scripture. Well, how does this happen? How do people get dislodged? How do they get shifted from being anchored in Christ? Verse 14 tells us, "It is done by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." It doesn't just happen. There are schemes. There is plotting. There are those who are working for the evil one, who are against the church and seeking to move the church away from Christ, seeking to make it a social agency, seeking to make it social welfare, whatever they might be doing to make something look better than Christ is a deceitful, plotting plan to toss the church to and fro. That's why we have to be warned. We have to be careful, and we have to be looking to Christ. The devil is intent on deceiving God's people, and he has been from the beginning, like he did with Adam and Eve. He will do it by any means of trickery, even masquerading as an angel of light, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 to 15. Even false apostles teaching false doctrines, masquerading as an angel of light, just like those who follow him, who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. What is Paul telling us there? That there are even those behind the pulpit who are ministers, quote unquote, who are masquerading as angels of light, who are masquerading as shepherds of God's people, and they are leading God's people away. This word here, by the trickery of men, is the Greek word for cube, for dice. And when dice are involved, there's a lot of cheating involved. There's a lot of trickery involved. And so Paul is saying, this is how they do it. They trick you. Well, how is the easiest way for a church to be tricked? It's the same scheme that the devil has been using forever. It is to mix lies with truth. It is to make it look like it's truth, when in reality, it is not. It is deceit. We grow up by keeping our eyes and hearts and minds on the faith. The faith. The faith that once was delivered. That's how we grow. We keep preaching Christ, and we keep hearing Christ preached. That is your obligation as a church, to demand that you hear Christ preached. And the day you don't, you will be in trouble if you do not stand up and say, we want to see Jesus. Anything else is trickery and deceit. And it is a plot to throw you about. It is in the preaching and teaching and hearing of Christ preached that you will come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, and to ultimately to measure up to the fullness of Christ. Christ grows His church into adulthood through the word preached and through the hearing of His word preached. Verses 13 and 14 clearly focus on that. The unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Truth from God's Word is how you will grow. Do not be deceived in thinking it can be done some other way. This is God's plan. This is God's means of grace to you, to give you His Word. Well, Paul continues this focus of growing up with another contrast in verse 15. And here in verse 15, we see that Christ's goal for the church is that it will grow up into Him. That you will grow up into Him. Verse 15 tells us this: but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. The contrast here is every wind of doctrine versus the truth. Paul is hammering that home again to us. Speaking the truth in love compared to every wind of doctrine. Most commentators believe this word translated to speak the truth love in love is better translated to hold the truth in love. To hold the truth in love. And the Greek supports both of these thoughts. To speak the truth and to hold the truth. To hold to the truth. And there really is no major disagreement here in the translation. For to speak the truth and to hold the truth is to be truthful. To speak the truth and not hold to the truth is to be hypocritical. To not be truthful. So we can say here in verse 15 that we should both speak the truth and hold to it. The point here is that there is truth. There is truth. One of the things that's been going around for several years now is that there is no truth. That what you think is truth to you. What you think is truth to you. That's the truth. That's the world's truth. And by doing that, by taking that philosophy, they deny the truth of Jesus Christ. They deny the exclusivity of the Bible. And they say that nobody, like Pilate, what is truth? Nobody really has the truth. But we do have the truth. And we are to speak to that truth and we are to hold to that truth. And the point here is that the Scriptures are the truth. And this is how you are grown up into the body of Christ. These are the things that make us the body of Christ. That we are to hold to the truth is the contrast of verse 14 rather being blown about Because if you let go of this truth, you will be blown about. You will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so you must hold to the truth of God's Word. You must speak to it, and you must hold to it. And that's one of the deceitful and trickery things that is being doing now, is to get us to believe that there is no truth. Or that who are you to say you have the truth? Have you not been challenged in that way? When you speak to somebody about Christ and you say this is truth, have you not been challenged to say, well, who are you to say is truth? The Muslims say they have the truth. The Buddhists say they have the truth. Who are you to say you have the truth? We are nobody to say we have the truth, but God is truth. And this is His Word. And so we have to hold on to that truth. And we have to know what that truth is. And the truth we hold to is not opinions, but the very Word of God. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The words of Scripture come from God, from His very breath. It is here that we must anchor ourselves. It is this very book that we must hold on to. The world rejects it, says it's not true, it's too divisive, it's too harsh, it's too old-fashioned, it's too exclusive, it's too intolerant. That can't be truth. We live in a different day. There's a new truth. And to the world, the Bible does not fit it. But we must hold to it. And to hold to it is not just say, I believe. To hold to truth is to say, not only do I believe, but I will live according to it. That is holding to the truth. And without this book, this holy truth of God, we have nothing to hold to. Without the Bible, we have no knowledge of the Son of God, no knowledge of God, our need for salvation, the means of grace for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Without the truth, we will be blown to and fro. All about. And speaking of the Scriptures, the Shorter Catechism asks this question: what do the Scriptures principally teach? Answer: the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duties God requires of man. Without covering every doctrine in Scripture that we must hold to this morning, I would just point your attention to what the Reformers summarized in what's called the five solas, or the five alones, which we must hold to. Because just about every other doctrine that we have in Scripture can fall into these categories. We must hold to Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and for God's glory alone. We must hold to these things. We must hold to these truths. And there is much more that we need to hold to than these things. But as we hear the word preached, we need to hear it not as what the preacher thinks or what the preacher has concluded, but as a thus says the Lord. That's how you need to hear what I'm saying this morning. Thus says the Lord. Grow up into adulthood by holding on to the truth. Thus says the Lord. The message of the Bible is a precise message. Message is about God and His person. The Son of God, Jesus Christ in His person. His life and death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit and His work. The way of salvation in Christ alone. The church and how we are to live and worship before the face of God. Thus says the Lord. And we can hold these things in love, as Paul says here in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. We can hold these things, we can go to the wall and die for these things, and we can do it in love. We know we have the truth. We can stand on it, we can hold up to it, and we can correct others in a loving way. We can rebuke with it in a loving way, with a patient and gentle spirit. Now, people might not think that that's what Paul was doing when he was correcting the Galatians about what the true gospel was. But he did do it with a gentle spirit. But he did correct them. He was firm with them and he was strong with them, tough with them, even calling a curse upon those who would preach a different gospel. But listen to what Galatians 4:19 tells us. As Paul was writing to the Galatians and correcting them, he says this, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." There was a care for this church in Galatia. There was a shepherding going on. There was a kindness going on. Even if Paul had to use very strong words, he did it in love. As a mother would love her children. Again, another thing we are told today is to speak and hold exclusively to certain things is unloving, but it's not unloving to speak and hold to the truths of Scripture. We can do both and be loving when we do it. And it is this holding to the truth that enables us to grow up in love. Do you want to know how you can grow up into Christ in love? Hold to the truth. Hold to it in your life. Hold to it when you speak to others. And do not compromise. And yes, I know it's hard. It's so easy to hear other people say ungodly things and things that go against God's word and for us just to be quiet and not join in with it. We think, well, at least I didn't. But the world needs to hear God's word. They need to hear it and be corrected. It is holding to the truth that enables us to grow up into Christ. Holding to the truth. It is very important that we grow and grow up into Christ. Christ's goal is that you will hold to the truth in all things and that you will grow up into Him. And the body should be symmetrical with the head. Like I mentioned, you don't want bigger body parts having been exercised and looking so weirdly and oddly that even the body can't even function. Can't even walk because the body at the top is so heavy. The body should be in keeping with the head. And as we grow in faith and knowledge and love, we are growing up into Christ and becoming more like Christ. The body is taking shape with the head. As we grow to become more like our head, even Christ, we become more ready to respond to His call upon our life. Speaking the truth, holding the truth, is nothing if it doesn't cause us to submit to the truth. It is nothing. So you believe. So you speak. But do you submit to the truth? Do you submit to the truth giver, who is the truth? Who is the head of the body? Who calls you to follow Him in truth? The body does not lead. The head leads the body. And if you do not hold to the truth, you will not hear the truth in a humble and submissive way. And if you do not submit to the truth humbly and wholeheartedly, then quite frankly, you are not holding to the truth. It is from Jesus Christ the head, Paul says here, that we are to grow up into the head. But it's also what comes from the head that is important. It is Christ who is the head that is the source of the life of the body and her growth. It is Christ. Jesus said Himself in John 15:5, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Where does your source for growth come from? Where does your source for strength come from? Where does your source for holding on to the truth come from? But Jesus Christ, who is the vine, who provides the sources of life and strength for the branches. And that's what we see in verse 16. Christ's goal for the church is that it will grow up in service. And this growth comes from Christ alone. And this is taking us back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Christ is the source and strength of the body of Christ. Verse 16 tells us it's from Him, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. It is Christ who is knitting and joining together the parts of the body. He is fitting it together according to His wisdom and for His purposes. This word joined together means parts fitted to work in harmony. He is taking the parts. He is putting them together. He is fitting them so that the whole body of Christ works together in harmony. To be knit together is to be compacted. It means there aren't parts of the body laying over here and parts laying over here that aren't doing anything. That's not Christ's goal. Christ's goal is that we would be tightly knit together and working together for the edification of the body. Each member of the body is properly fitted and bound together with the other members of the body. This is something Christ does in us, and the source of our strength and our life in the body comes from Jesus Christ, which causes us to grow. Paul then tells us how this happens, how this growth happens. We're joined and knit together by Christ by what every joint supplies. This phrase, what every joint supplies, doesn't mean like what we think of a joint, like a ball and socket. It means bands. In other words, supply channels that bring the supply of life and nutrition and energy to the body. So from Christ the head comes the power, the strength to grow. And for you to have life, for the body to have life, and to do, as Paul says here, its effective work. There are many members in the body, and Christ is giving them the necessary strength to do exactly what he has gifted them to do. Each person has a gift that they are to do a certain part. Just like we read in 1 Samuel. Each person had a part to do, and each person would get its share. But each person here gets its strength and power from Jesus Christ. In verse 16, Paul is talking about you. How you have been fitted together in the body. And that you have been given exactly what you need to use your gift to serve the body. There is no excuse for someone who is in the body of Christ not to be serving the body of Christ. You each have been gifted and empowered by Christ, who is your head, for the edification of the body to grow. Let me say again, this is not for your own self-glorification or reaching your own self-potential. You have been gifted. You have been supplied strength for the body of Christ. And that comes from Christ. And the goal that you have these gifts, the goal of Christ giving you these this source of strength, is that you would build the body up in love. It is Christ's goal for his body that it would grow up. Grow up and mature in Christ, united in the faith. Grow up and into Christ, holding on to the truth. Grow up and be serving the body of Christ in love, just as he has made it to work. Christ has given you the means of growth. He won this authority to do that by dying on the cross and being raised again and seated at the right hand of God. He is the King who gives gifts to his church. And he expects his church to use them, to hold on to his truth, and to use the strength and power that he has supplied, that the body of Christ may be built up in love. So I say to you, grow up into Christ, feed on Christ, and serve his body. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for the gifts. As anybody would be thankful for gifts, Lord, we are thankful. We just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to realize the greatness of these gifts that you have given to us and the purpose of these gifts, which is to grow up your body into you. Lord, help us flee from the thinking that I need to grow for myself. But to hold on to the truth that you have given us strength. You have given us gifts to edify the body, your body, in love. Lord, let us hold on to that and let us help us put it into practice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.